Kim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I am Jim Rome. We got a damn good hour coming up. Can't wait to get to this hour. Welcome back, or good afternoon, good morning, wherever you are. Broadcasting from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio, I am Jim Rome. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Hour number three starts off back-to-back, coming up in about 20 minutes. The new head football coach at Nebraska, Scott Frost. But first things first, coming off a huge win over number two Kansas last night, we are joined by the head basketball coach at Washington, the pride of modern day. He's in his first season with the Huskies. Washington beat number two Kansas 74-65 last night. They're 7-2 on the year, and they've got another big one coming up on Sunday where they host 12th-ranked Gonzaga. We are joined by Washington head coach Mike Hopkins. Mike, it is great to have you back. How are you?
How are you, Joe?
Mike, I'm great. How are you today? I'm guessing pretty well.
I'm doing great. We were able to enjoy it, but like you said, we got a big one on Sunday.
All right, before we talk about that, let's enjoy this one for a couple of more moments. You were a 22-point underdog going into last night's game. You've taken over a program, Mike, that was 9-22 last season. You're going up against a Kansas team that is absolutely loaded with talent. What was your attitude and mindset going into that game?
Well, at the end of the day, we had nothing to lose and everything to gain. And we've taken the approach of, you know, these are great tests to see where we're at. And when you play great programs, that's where you want to be. You know, that's who you strive to be like. And so we went in there. I thought, we had the game plan. But as you know, in sports, the kids have to execute it. And they executed it great. And we were able to come out with a great victory.
All right, so in terms of that game plan, Mike, and the execution, you had three keys for your team last night. No threes, transition defense, limit turnovers. I mean, they're always important things, but why are they especially important against a team like Kansas? And what do you think of the way your guys did execute on those points?
Well, Kansas was making over 11 threes a game, and they're different than the old Kansas teams where they put four shooters. They got four shooters and four just high-level players that execute well. And we just wanted to take the three-pointer out of the game. And they're scoring over 20 points a game in transition. So we felt like if we could, you know, play those two, you know, very well. And then obviously offensively, don't force anything. If you got to take the shot clock all the way down, take it all the way down. What you don't want to do is turn it over and let them get into transition and get the crowd involved. And, you know, in the first half, they had 0 points in transition. They were 2-for-9 from the three-point line. And, you know, we were able to, you know, not turn it over as much as we have in the past. So, you know, it worked out well. But the kids, I was really proud of them because they executed.
Mike Hopkins joining us. And now you got to follow that up with that game against number 12, Gonzaga. I mean, facing Kansas and then Gonzaga is a pretty brutal stretch that could crush a lot of teams. So how do you go about preparing your guys, not just physically, but mentally, for this game against Mark Few's team?
Well, I think the biggest thing, and I mentioned the approach earlier, the process of, you know, how do we get better? And, you know, there was still a lot of room for improvement, defensively, offensively. I didn't think we played, you know, some of our best basketball. I still think we can still get better. But we were improving. And anytime you play a top program with great coaches and great tradition, you know, it's all about executing a plan. What it did do, when you're building a program and all new and they're learning a new system, is they're believing more in what we're saying. And as you know, as well as anybody, it's the most important thing is that belief.
You know, Mike, when you and I spoke back in April, you talked about the fact that you were shot out of a cannon. You really hit the ground running. You always had this dream, this ambition of running your own program. Now you have it. Now you're in the middle of that first season. What's it like? How does it feel?
It's surreal. A lot of sleepless nights. Now I know what Coach Boeheim and everybody went through, you know, trying to figure it out. But just exhilarating to go in those gyms and play against great programs. And, you know, I work with a great staff, and we're just getting these guys prepared and seeing them grow. There's a lot of power in that. And, you know, it's everything that I thought it would be and more.
We're talking to Mike Hopkins. You know, Mike, when you come into a situation where the team went 9-22 the year before, how much of what you're looking to do as a coach is to change the strategy, and then how much is about coming in and just trying to change that culture?
Well, culture is everything. It's everything of laying the foundation, because it's like I told the team last night, it's not about us winning a game. It's about building a program that can sustain it. And you know, consistency over time equals credibility. So I'm happy that we won. But we have a lot of work to do. And like I said earlier, it's building that belief system and fighting for your culture every day. And our staff is incredible, and they've really been pushing it, and the kids have been buying in.
Mike, let me tell you what's incredible to me. What's incredible to me is you took over a team that went 9-22 last year, and you just beat second-ranked Kansas, and literally it sounds like you've already moved past that. Given what you went through, your entire journey, the price that you paid to win a game like that, I mean, you'll tell me the guys did it, but to win a game like that, how can you move that quickly through something that incredible? Literally, you've spent your entire life getting to that moment.
Because I really believe, you know, it's hard to win games, and I've been a part of a winning tradition and program, one of the most storied programs in the history of college basketball, and you know how, and I've seen how tough it is, and I see how many great coaches there are out there, and you got to respect everybody you play. You got to focus on the next game. And I think that will create the consistency and the mindset to be able to win over time.
Mike Hopkins, my guest, mindset. I love that you went back to that. You know, that conversation again that we had in April, I go back to that. You can tell I enjoyed that conversation, Mike. But we talked a little bit about your journey from Orange County to Syracuse. And at one point, Marv Marinovich had told you that people are going to think you're soft because you're coming from Orange County. Right?
Yeah.
So there was that moment in practice at Syracuse when a walk-on was hitting you with some elbows and he was being aggressive, so you punched him. What do you remember about that, and what was the message that you were looking to send with that?
Well, I've always been an underdog, Jim, and it was one of those things where if you know what you want, you got to fight for it. You got to fight for what you believe in. And I wasn't going to get punked. I wasn't going to get pushed around, and I was going to do my best. And I've had great coaches, from Bob Johnson, was my little league baseball coach, to Marv Marinovich, who trained me, to Gary McKnight, you know, to Jim Boeheim, to Coach K. I mean, I've been around the best, and I'm so blessed to have these coaches at a young age just teach you how to win and how to fight and how to believe.
And Mike, you know, you and I talked, and you know my background, and I know your background, and you know, I got to keep a certain distance with athletes and people I talk to, because I have to remain objective. You know, I'm kind of friendly with Rob Johnson. I know Rob, and I would call him a friend. What was it like playing for Bob Johnson?
He was my little league baseball coach. I had played with Brett, and we were on a show on ESPN called Vic's Vacant Lot, Vic Braden, way back, way, way, way back ESPN show, and was around that family, great family. Intense competitor and a great teacher. Like, he was our little league baseball team. It was the team that, you know, you went into majors and they drafted all the young guys.
Right.
And we grew together and, you know, won the league, South Mission Viejo Little League. And he was just, you know, great coaches can coach any sport. And he's one of the greatest coaches.
I'll tell you, we're a little bit north of there, and it's amazing, isn't it, Mike, how different ball is, basketball, baseball, football. You can go 10 miles in one direction, and it's amazing how much different it is. Down there, they play it the right way. It's serious ball. Now, there's so many amazing stories from your journey, but I got to ask you about this one. Is it true, when you first got that gig at Syracuse, you were making $16,000 a year and living in a frat house? Is that true? And if that's true, what was that like?
It was incredible. No worries. I'm a young coach, restricted earnings, making $16,000. I was the house father at the Sandy Fraternity House in Syracuse, New York. And it was, you know, I coached basketball. And back then, you couldn't recruit. So during that time, I was able to just coach 1,000%. I would come out here to Seattle to be with a mentor, Coach Gergerich, and watch them and learn how to coach from him and player development. And it was some of the greatest days of my life. And, you know, it raised me, it helped me grow, and I'm forever grateful for that opportunity.
Mike, you mentioned Gerg. You know, of course, I went to UC Santa Barbara, so when the Gauchos would play UNLV, I'd see Tim Gergerich and Tark. Man, guys loved Gerg. How good of a basketball coach was he?
I always said he's the greatest coach that I've ever been around, a guy who treated the best player, the 13th player on the team, like the first player. He just loved coaching. There was a passion and a willingness to make anybody better. And that was the one thing. I wasn't a good player, but he gave me as much time and as much energy as he would give Gary Payton on the side. He was just that kind of guy, and that was a heck of a lesson to learn. And it was one of the reasons what made him so special.
Greatest basketball coach ever? I mean, you're different than Jim Boeheim or greater than Boeheim? What do you mean by that?
I think different. It wasn't with wins and losses. It was just a great influence of showing how coaches had a passion and energy and a mission just to make that guy better. And it didn't matter if you were, you know, the 13th man on a JUCO team or he was working with Gary Payton. He just gave you 1,000%. and he went out of his way and always followed your career. And so when I say that, it's the combination of just that passion that you go on a day-to-day basis. And all those other coaches have that, but he was never the guy who had the 1,000 wins. He was the guy that's behind the scenes that is as good as anybody I've ever been around.
I know what you're talking about. Players absolutely loved playing for him. We're talking to Mike Hopkins. He's the head coach of Washington. They had a huge win last night against Kansas. They've got Gonzaga coming up on Sunday. So a final thought then. You mentioned when I said, what's it like this year? You said it's a little bit surreal. You go from making $16,000 and living in a frat house to coaching USA basketball. Jim Boeheim said, quote, from LeBron to Kobe to Kevin Durant, they love Mike, and he was there with them every day. Kobe doesn't like that many people either, end of quote. So, Mike, I mean, when you look back on this journey from start to where you are right now and the fact that you're coaching guys like that, they love you, I mean, does it all seem pretty natural, or do you look back and say, how did this all happen?
I look back at, and I always believe you surround yourself with good people, good things happen. And I've just been around the best in the business, and they've given me opportunities, and they've trained me. And I just do my best. I just try to be real and just who I am and do my best. And you know, it's given me great opportunities, and that's all I can say. But, you know, this road to getting here from that 16,000, you know, God had a big plan, man, and everything that's happened has happened for a reason for me. And I don't know how or what or why, but the people that have impacted my life, even being on your show, I told you as a kid, I remember my brother, we're in the car. He's like, oh, my God, you got to hear this guy. His name's Jim Rome. He's the best broadcaster you'll ever hear. He's unbelievable. And sitting in his, he had a Nissan Pathfinder, a white Nissan Pathfinder, and we were driving around listening to you and just being on the show today. It's surreal, man. I can't explain it, but it is what it is, and I'm just very blessed and grateful.
Mike, it is what it is, and it's freaking awesome. I love that. That is such a great story. That pumps me up to hear that, and you make sure your bro knows. What happened to the Nissan Pathfinder? Who's got that rig now?
it's probably so old. It was so old, but at the time, it was really cool.
You know it was. It was really cool, and the radio work, that's what matters. So coming off that big win, another big challenge on Sunday, Washington against number 12 Gonzaga. Mike, so good to have you on. Congrats on that huge win. I know you've moved past it. You've got another challenge ahead of you. But, man, it is so good to talk to you. Let's be sure we do it again soon.
Thanks, Jim.
Mike, you're the best. Mike Hopkins. God, that is so great. I love that story. That kind of thing, that does not make me feel old. That makes me feel awesome. That he's driving around with his bro in a Nissan Pathfinder, and his bro is like, this guy's incredible. You got to hear him. $16,000 a year as an assistant coach living in a frat house. What was that like? You know, I expect him to say, yeah, man, that was kind of tough. He said, that was the best ever. That was so great. All I could do is coach, have a little fun. And Nebraska fans all about it. Husker fan cannot wait. First of all, I want your thoughts on that interview, your reaction to that interview. In the meantime, we've got Scott Frost coming up in a minute. This email says, War Scott freaking Frost coming on the program. Signed, Aaron in Omaha. Enjoying the hopeful year-round frigid winter wonderland that we will soon know only as Rome. After listening to Scott Frost do a few interviews and pressers since being named head coach in Nebraska, I can only imagine what he will bring to the show today. I'm lacing up my dress shoes, ready to bulldoze a few rows of cubicles, just anticipating the interview today. Aaron in Omaha. Aaron, that's two. That's two for
it's
you, Aaron.
Two for me.
How many emails have you
it's
sent?
Two for me.
Those are the first two that have come across my desk. Nebraska's fired up. Omaha, Lincoln, all over that great state, but apparently nobody more so than Aaron in Omaha. When we come back, we have Scott Frost. Stay tuned. Scott Frost, and then one open segment on the back end to tie it all together. Also, I want your thoughts on that conversation. That was tremendous. Washington, 9-22 last year, and already a win over second-ranked Kansas, and they've got a shot at Gonzaga coming up this weekend. Stay with it. Phone lines are open. Scott Frost joins us when we come back.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. I've done this a long time. I think if you've listened to this program for a long time, you know the kind of relationship this show has with the state of Nebraska. You know we've had appearances there, a tour stop there. We've always had great contributions from Omaha, Lincoln, and all around that state. We've talked Nebraska football always on this show. With that in mind, we are joined right now by the head football coach at Nebraska. He was introduced as the head coach on Sunday, the 2017 Home Depot Coach of the Year, the 2017 American Athletic Conference Coach of the Year. He led UCF to a perfect 12-0 season and the American Athletic Conference title. He won a national championship at Nebraska. As a player, we are joined by the new head coach of the Cornhuskers, Scott Frost. Scott, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. I appreciate you having me back on. It's an exciting time for me.
I'll say, Scott, it's so good to have you back on. I'm glad you share your thoughts with us. Now, I know Husker fans are fired up by your arrival. How does it feel, though, to be back home and to hear yourself introduced as the head football coach at Nebraska?
It's exciting. You know, ever since I graduated, I've been a fan and watching Nebraska and watching it from afar. At times I was proud, and other times I didn't think it was being done the way that it needed to be done. And I've seen how great Nebraska can be in my time there. And I'm just honored that they picked me to try to get it back and put it in its rightful place around the country.
You know, what an interesting point. I'm going to get back to that in a minute. But I want to ask you this. When you showed up for that presser on Sunday, roughly 150 of your former teammates were there waiting for you. What was that moment like, and what's it mean to have that kind of support behind you?
Well, that's one of the reasons I came back, because I knew that the entire state would get behind us. I knew that the unity in Nebraska would be like it was again when I was there. Those are my brothers. Those are the other guys that have gone out on Memorial Stadium Field and bled and sweat and won games and that care about the university. And to see that kind of support and respect from those guys meant the world to me.
Nebraska coach Scott Frost joining us. You know, Scott, you were having a lot of success at UCF, obviously. You could have stayed there. Your name was coming up in connection with a lot of other jobs. So ultimately, what was it about the opportunity at Nebraska that made it something that you simply could not turn down?
Well, number one, it's home, and I wanted to go home. Number two, I think it gives me a chance to win in a place where I'm going to be able to do things the right way. When I was at Nebraska, there wasn't a classier organization in the country. There wasn't a more successful organization in the country. I have no reason to believe we can't get it running that way again. And I had a lot of options. Certainly was very hard for me to leave UCF, a place I care about and a lot of kids I care about. But a chance to go home and rebuild Nebraska and make it a national power again, that was an opportunity I couldn't turn down.
Scott Frost, you know, in terms of that process, it's such an amazing story. The guy from Wood River High School who led Nebraska to a national championship, coming home once again. I mean, that's like the stuff of fairy tales. It's amazing. But, Scott, let's be real. It is a business. You're a very analytical person. You're very smart. So how much of this decision was about your sentiment and your heart, and then how much of that came up from your head?
I think there was some of both. You know, a lot of people might have made different decisions. I don't know, but I know this: winning at Nebraska for 30 years happened every single year, and the success that Nebraska had for 30 years through the Devaney and Osborne eras and into the Solich era, there wasn't a university in the country that could match the success that they'd had. Like I said, I'd been frustrated at times that there was probably people running the show down in Lincoln that maybe didn't understand Nebraska, maybe weren't good fits. This is a good fit. I think the time is right, and I'm looking forward to getting the players in Lincoln. You know, we had the number one offense in the country at UCF. We get the pieces at Nebraska. We're going to do the same thing, and we're going to build a program that the people in Nebraska and people around the country can be proud of and admire.
Cornhusker fans love hearing that. Scott Frost joining us. Now, you made that point a couple of times, Scott, that you would look at Nebraska and you think that's the Nebraska I know, but other times you might look at Nebraska and say that's not the Nebraska I know. I mean, you know the fan base. You know the support you're going to get. You know what these folks are all about, but you haven't been around this administration or the program in a while. So in that process, what kind of questions did you have?
Well, I wanted to make sure that there was a unity of purpose. At other times, I felt like there was different factions there pulling in different directions, maybe people that had agendas. Everything fell in line for me to come back. I really like the leadership on campus. I really like Bill Moose as the new athletic director. I think there's finally going to be a process started where we remove obstacles to success instead of creating them, where everybody's pulling in the same direction, where everybody has the same purpose and understands their role. in what we're trying to get done. And if all those things hadn't come together like they did, I might not have looked at the job. But I think the time is right to see a renaissance in Lincoln, Nebraska.
You had that conversation with Tom Osborne as part of the process. You know, obviously, I would imagine he's a mentor to you, somebody that you think or you're very close to. In fact, why don't you answer it that way? What does he mean to you? And without giving the intimate details of that conversation up, what are the types of things he said to you? I mean, did he ever say, I want you to come back, I need you to come back? How did he approach it?
You know what Tom said to me, Jim? He said, I'm going to take a hard look at what's going on here, and I'm going to tell you whether I think it's right for you or not.
Wow.
And when he took a look at the things that were going on in Lincoln and the new people that were in charge on campus, I think he felt really good about the opportunity to come back and rebuild what hasn't been the same in a while. And when he gave me that okay, that made me feel a lot better about taking the opportunity.
We're talking to Scott Frost. That's amazing, actually. We'll talk to him for a few more moments. You know, Scott, one of the things that the players at UCF talk about is the first thing that you did with them was develop a love and a relationship in the locker room, and it had an enormous impact on them. The guys were all connected, and that also led to the turnaround. Why was that so important, and is this something you plan to do at Nebraska too?
Absolutely, it's something we're going to do at Nebraska. When I hired a staff at UCF, I hired the best coaches I knew, but even more importantly, I hired guys that we're in the business to be mentors to young men, guys that we're going to genuinely care about the players. And I think the UCF guys that I care so much about, I think they recognize that immediately. You know, when I was in school at Nebraska, we would have run through a wall for Coach Osborne because we knew at the end of the day he had our best interests at heart and he cared about every single one of us. In this day and age, I think that's vital, and I think a lot of people miss that. But young men should want to come play for the guys that I'm going to put in place at the University of Nebraska because that family atmosphere will follow us to Lincoln.
You know, when you consider that that's what you developed and that's what you fostered, as exciting as this time is for you right now, you had that incredible bond with your players there. What was it like to tell them that you were going back to Nebraska?
You know, to be honest with you, it was one of the hardest things I've had to do. I cried a lot. I had a long line of guys that came in. I think they were all happy for me and understood, but it was hard on all of us. I wouldn't have left there for just anything. We had something pretty special going on down there. We took 0-12 to 12-0 in 2 years. But more importantly, everybody loved being in that building and around each other. And that's not easy to leave. But I get the opportunity now to try to build the same thing at Nebraska, and some of those things are what Nebraska's been missing for a while.
So one more thought about them. UCF, are you going to coach the Peach Bowl? And if so, why is that so important?
You know, I want to do what's right, and my first priority is always going to be the players. The players at UCF have scratched and clawed and worked to get the opportunity that they've gotten. We're working on right now the logistics of it, but if I can make it work, I owe it to those guys to do everything I can to give them the best chance to win that football game. And we're trying to figure all that out now, but it'd be great to see them one more time.
I was just going to say, wouldn't that be great? One last thought. Scott, I could talk to you for hours about this, but when you're recruiting at UCF, there's a ton of talent right there in your backyard. So now coming back home, how do you go about approaching recruiting at Nebraska, and what's your message going to be when you're out on the recruiting trail?
You know, come play for coaches that care about you. Come play in the number one offense in the country. Come play in a defense that went from the bottom of the United States to the top 15 for 2 years with the defensive staff we have. There's absolutely no reason we can't get kids to Lincoln, Nebraska. Kids leave places right now and go everywhere around the country. We should be able to. There's no reason kids won't go to Lincoln if they're going to Columbus and Ann Arbor and Eugene, Oregon. And I think we're going to create an environment and a football environment in Lincoln that people are going to want to be a part of. We don't need all of them. We just need the ones that want to be there and help make Nebraska power again.
Scott, you're looking forward, not back, but I got to ask the question. I feel like it was yesterday that I was talking to you and your teammates about a national championship in 96, and yet here we are 20 years out. What's it feel like to you?
You know, it's only 20 years. 20 years seems a long time, but like I said before, Nebraska was at the top of the game of college football for a long time, and there's no reason it can't be again. It seems like a lifetime ago to me, but it also seems like yesterday. And I want to get that magic back in Memorial Stadium, bring the excitement back. We're going to run a fast up-tempo offense, a modern offense and defense, and I can't wait to see where this thing goes, and I want a lot of people to come along the ride with us.
Honestly, I feel the same way. I can't wait to see where it goes as well, and I got to cut you loose because Nebraska fans want to call up and talk about what they just heard. Scott, I appreciate it. I know you've got a crazy week ahead of you still. Thanks for making time to come back on the show. It's always good to have you, and welcome home.
Much respect, man. I appreciate you having me on anytime.
Much respect, Scott. Thanks so much. Scott Frost. But what a great message that was. Nebraska fan, I'm going to get out quickly. I really want to hear from you next segment and get you to share your thoughts. I know you've probably been blowing up all the local shows and talking about what it means to have your guy back home. But you got Scott Frost. Hit me up now nationally. What do you think about what you just heard? How excited are you to have him back? And do you think they can replicate that magic? Can it be the way it used to be? Can he bring them back? Can they win a national championship again? Can he recruit the way he needs to? And generally, how hyped are you hearing Scott Frost and his message? We'll come right back. I'll open it up to you. 1-800-636-8686. Scott Frost, head football coach at Nebraska. But that point where he said that Tom Osborne said, look, I'm going to do a little bit of work. I'm going to do some work myself, and I'll let you know whether or not this is the right spot for you in the right time. And then he came back and said, do it. This is it. I'm in favor of it. Phone calls. I bet the engineers will be so pissed. I just had a great idea for my new studio. Have you seen pictures of the new studio? If not, go back through my timeline on Twitter. Beautiful white desk. It's already built. It's ready to roll for the TV show, which gets underway on January 2nd. I want to see if they can put in one of those bitchin' chargers that like Starbucks has, where you can just drop your phone on the table. I wonder if they'll care if I bring that up now. We're going to find out. You want to sign up and become an O Rewards member today and start earning instantly? O Rewards members earn $5 back for every $150 they spend. It is fast. It is easy. Most of all, it's free. It's only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hurry into O'Reilly Auto Parts today. Sign up and start earning each and every time you shop. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Nebraska is hyped. Reaction to Scott Frost in a minute. Let me get a quick email in here. Then we go to the phones. Dear Rome, I have had it up to here with these stay-at-home dads trying to force their Whole Foods, NPR, hybrid car mindset on real Americans. Have you ever been on a school playground in the last few years? Have you even been on one? The equipment looks about as fun as granola for dessert. You can't kid-proof the world, Rome. Why not teach them to be real men instead of planting the seed of excuses and weakness at such an early age? Sincerely, leather jackets, corked bats, gold chains, poking your son's Little League coach in the chest, passing out drunk on Christmas Eve, and alimony. Wore high school graduation tassels hanging from rearview mirrors. Wore Dana White starting AAU for MMA, featuring Nerf weapons. Check out Joaquin branching out and extending his brand. Joaquin not waiting for an MMA interview to come in. Joaquin, normally I would tell you to stay in your lane. Good job. I like it. Well done. Good effort, Joaquin. Let's go to the phones. We go to the Mile High. PJ in the Mile High. Hey, PJ, what's up?
Hey, Jimmy, thanks for the vine. Hey, I wanted to call since I didn't have to drive 2.5 hours down County Road 14 to get to the town's only phone to call in on behalf of Nebraska fan to point out that they have something more to cheer about today in their state than corn. You know, the headline on their newspaper is more exciting than Farmer Jim's the farm, the construction of his barn hit a snag. You know, they get to, once they're done ironing out their straw hats and picking the bugs out of their teeth to go to the games, they get to do something more interesting now than compare the weight of their girlfriend to the offensive line. So good for them. I'm so proud for Nebraska. Hey, I want to quickly war all the folks that are some of your neighbors there in California with those fires. Hope for a peaceful and safe outcome. And then I also want to war Adam Hawk's backup plan, fallback plan, his cooking show, 2.5 minutes in the microwave, out.
PJ and Mile High, how you were able to navigate your way through that phone call without getting run, PJ, I've got no idea whatsoever. Bro, you warning the fire victim should not have saved you from that call, all right? Especially since that phone call sounded like one that was made in 1994. Like, there was bug eater smack. He literally went with bug eater smack. Something that you would hear on this show back in 94 when we first added Omaha as an affiliate. Now you have something to root for other than corn. I didn't have to drive 2 hours to the one phone in the county to make this call. You're picking bugs out of your teeth. What? The N on your helmet standing for knowledge didn't want any of that. Bro, that phone call was made a million times in 1993. PJ. I don't need to defend Nebraska. Believe me, they proved to me, and this is one of the reasons I love that state, and I love our listeners there. Early on, when this show first syndicated, and we started to add markets that I had never even been to in my life, parts of the country that I'd never even been to, I was kind of curious how Nebraska would come in. And I was always eager, unlike a lot of you that was looking to wait and lie in the weeds and kill anybody who came on. I was grateful for anybody who would carry the show. I loved Nebraska from the second they came in. And the reason I did, I noticed when anybody took a shot at them, they came with haymakers. Nebraska can handle their own business, believe me. In fact, why don't we go there right now? We go to Omaha. Dave, you made it in. Dave, what's up? How are you? Good morning.
Oh, great show, Jim. Yeah, what do you expect? What can you expect from some pothead when, you know, we beat them like 107 to, you know, wins to 7 losses? I mean, what else can they talk about?
Go corn. Yeah, no, I hear you. What's up? So how you feeling? You got Scott Frost. He's back home as your head coach. How's that feel?
Oh, it's amazing. It's just awesome. I mean, not only we finally have somebody we can actually believe in. I mean, in 15 years, legitimately, we've had to kind of lie to ourselves about, you know, the coaches we've had in place. I know, you know, you kind of like Bo and all that, but we've had three guys that really weren't a fit here. And we wanted to. I've had season tickets since 1970. I go to all the games. I want to believe that this can happen, but we're just kind of lying to ourselves. We're kind of hoping. But this guy's got it, man. I mean, he studied under Bill Walsh, Tom Osborne, Bill Snyder, Bill Belichick, Chip Kelly, Bill Parcells. On top of that, I mean, he's a CEO. He's a stud. I mean, not only is he a coach, he's a great leader. These kids love him. I mean, he is the 2017 version of Tom Osborne at age 42. This guy's going to be, for the next 25 years, the hottest coach out there. I mean, he's going to bring us back, because there's going to be national champions in 3 years, 4 years, I don't know. But we're going to be good, and we're going to be a team that the state can be proud of, and we're going to be America's team again. I really believe that.
Yeah, you go ahead and rock that guy. I mean, you sounded almost like Scott Frost. I agree with almost everything he said. Scott Frost is a stud. Scott Frost is so sharp. This guy is so, so sharp. I think he's a great leader. I think he's got a great football mind. And I think he's got great football pedigree. He has worked under and studied under some of the best. And he's one of your own. This guy's coming home. Like I said, it's an amazing story. It's almost like a fairy tale. Wood River High School. He led Nebraska to a national championship, their last national championship. And this guy took an 0-12 team and had them 12-0 and did it in 2 years' time. A brilliant offensive mind, a leader of men, and he has studied under some of the best. And it's personal to him. Listen, and he made the point too. He said that from afar, when I looked at Nebraska, sometimes it just didn't look right. It didn't feel right because the right people weren't in place. People with their own agendas, people who didn't understand what this program and what the fans and what the state and what the school were about. Well, now he can fix all that. He knows. He went there. He grew up there. He won there. I understand why Nebraska is so hyped. They got their guy. And I can't say enough about the administration. Understand this. That was not a no-brainer. Scott Frost had amazing opportunities, including the one where he was. So you could see where there'd be a pull, but it wasn't necessarily a no-brainer. And I think the administration at Nebraska did an amazing job of convincing him, we can set this thing up the right way, so you should want to come home. And it can be great once again. Let's go to Lincoln quickly. Will, good to have you. Will, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. First of all, your office idea, I don't think it's too late to do that. I think that's a great idea. I'm currently getting some pizza here in the dining hall, but I got to say, you ask if Scott Frost is going to win, and hell yes, he is going to win.
Yeah, I think he might. In fact, I think he will. I think you got your right guy. Listen, it's not going to be as easy as it was. I'm not saying it was easy back in the day. How about this? You can't do it the exact same way that Tom Osborne did it back in the day, but Scott Frost doesn't. He's got a very different plan, a very different approach, obviously a very different offense. And it's just a matter of when you're at UCF, you go into your backyard and you get the kind of athletes that you need to run the nation's number one offense. Now he's going to have to recruit in a different area and a different way. But that doesn't mean that he can't get guys to go back there and play his scheme and play the way he wants to. Even more importantly is the news that it's not too late for me to get my charger built into my desk. Yeah, I don't know. Once we drilled that hole in the desk for the mic, I think that they thought that they were done. They're proud of this desk now. You don't want to do anything to jeopardize the integrity of my perfect white desk. And I don't want to be the guy to come up with the idea that screwed up that perfect white desk. But man, there's something about that battery built into the desk. You got to like that. Maybe it's not too late. I'll check with my man Walter. Walter's calling all the shots. Walter's the man who's running our world. He's coming in next week. We start rehearsals for our TV show next week. There's some inside baseball for you. We come on the air on January 2nd on CBS Sports Network. Make sure you have CBS Sports Network so you can see our live simulcast. All 3 hours live, this show on TV. Coming up on the huge call, Alvy. I hope you have one. You holiday shop online, right? Crooks holiday shop at your front door. Cops call them package pirates. I call them a-holes. Stop the package pirates this holiday season by getting Blink home security camera. Visit blinkbeforeyoubuy.com/roam and you'll get 10% off today. Once again, I love this product. blinkbeforeyoubuy.com/roam. Here is your huge call.
I look back at, and I always believe you surround yourself with good people, good things happen. And I've just been around the best in the business, and they've given me opportunities and they've trained me. And I just do my best. I just try to be real and just who I am and do my best. And you know, it's given me great opportunities, and that's all I can say. But, you know, this road to getting here from that 16,000, you know, God had a big plan, man. And everything that's happened has happened for a reason for me. And I don't know how or what or why, but the people that have impacted my life, even being on your show, I told you as a kid, I remember my brother, we're in the car. He's like, oh, my God, you got to hear this guy. His name's Jim Rome. He's the best broadcast you'll ever hear. He's unbelievable. And sitting in his, he had a Nissan Pathfinder, a white Nissan Pathfinder, and we were driving around listening to you and just being on the show today. It's surreal, man. I can't explain it, but it is what it is, and I'm just very blessed and grateful.
Hi, good show, dude.
It is what it is, and it's awesome. That's what it is. That's the head coach at Washington, Mike Hopkins. They beat number 2 Kansas, and they've got a shot at Gonzaga this weekend. Nice job, coach. Congrats. My thanks to Mike Hopkins. My thanks to Scott Frost, returning home to coach Nebraska. Nate McMillan. Look at Kristen and Erica booking out. Nice job, ladies. Thank you very much. Thanks for the interviews. Clones, we had a good day. We've had lots of good days since I've moved into this new studio. Let's make sure we have one more great day. End the week strong next week. Come strong. Lay it out there. Come strong, Israel, because you're ass in a war.
Well, Bob.
Nice try, Alvin. I was about to give you so much credit. Alvin doesn't know where I'm going with that stuff. It just kind of comes out. Have a great day. Thank you for listening. We will see you tomorrow. Denim up. Back it in. Catch you then.